Are you thinking Cavaliers, Wildcats, Jayhawks, and the Blue Blob in your Final Four in San Antonio? Don't do it. It's tough for the number one seeds in the NCAA tournament to get that far. I'm trying to help you out as you fill out your bracket for the tourney that goes quickly from 64 teams to the Sweet 16, then the Elite Eight, and then the four teams left standing to fight it out to determine this year's college basketball champion. Hi, everybody. It's Lambeau in sports. It's one of my favorite times of the year, and I apologize for being absent for a few weeks. For almost a month now. No excuses. There's been plenty to talk about. About the Mavericks in that Sports Illustrated story and Mark Cuban telling his team to tank down the stretch. And of course you had the Cowboys and the saga that is the Cowboys. Jerry Jones having to reimburse the NFL for his association with Zeke Elliott's efforts to appeal his 6-game suspension. And Jerry working to slow down a contract extension for Commissioner Roger Goodell. And what's the team going to do going forward with wide receiver Dez Bryant? Plus, we've got a new baseball season about to begin for your Texas Rangers. But today, this week, it's college basketball. In a state where when you think of Texas, you of course think of football. But it's okay to pound yourself on the chest a little bit and be proud. Be Texas proud with 7 schools from the Lone Star State represented in the NCAA tournament. 7. TCU, Texas Tech, Texas, Texas A&M, Houston, Stephen F. Austin, and Texas Southern. That's darn impressive. And around here, there isn't a bigger story than the Horned Frogs who got in. As successful as TCU has been in college football the last 20 years, they just haven't been able to keep up on the hardwood, especially when they jumped to the Big 12 Conference a few years ago. But that changed when Jamie Dixon was hired, just 2 years on the job, and he's been able to turn it around. He has, and talked about it with Pat Doney from NBC5 in Dallas.
I want to know what that feeling was like when they announced TCU was officially in the Big Dance.
You know, it was really special for me because I was sitting right next to Mr. Schollmeyer, Ed Schollmeyer, who's now the arena is named after and a big supporter of TCU. And he's always been a basketball guy at a football-dominated school. So to see him and see him excited and get an opportunity to go watch an NCAA tournament game with TCU in it, I think that was probably the special part to me.
It's the program's first berth since 1998, but you have a lot of experience in the NCAA tournament. This is your 12th trip as a head coach. You took Pitt to the Elite Eight one time as well. What will you use from that experience, and what advice will you give your team about how to handle this moment?
We're going to enjoy it. I mean, that's the thing I want to really get across to our guys. We've really, since we've known we've been in for the last couple weeks, I think we've really talked about enjoying the moment and what they've accomplished. Being one thing, but and getting a team that hasn't been there in 20 years, but also knowing that we can do more, and just getting to the tournament was not going to be enough for this team, because enjoy it, but this team is good enough to win games, and that's been our message to our guys, and something that we've talked about. But as far as me being there, I don't think that's going to translate a lot. I think it's these guys, how we play, how much they believe in each other, and commit to each other and execute.
TCU basketball coach Jamie Dixon, along with Pat Doney from NBC5. So the Frogs have jumped over one hurdle, and now they'll try to win an NC2A tournament game for the first time since Dixon scored 11 points against Marshall. That was back in 1987. TCU on their way to Detroit this week, where the opponent will be Arizona State or Syracuse. Those two teams have a play-in game on Wednesday night, with a winner going on to face the Frogs on Friday with a late tip-off at 8:40 in a game that will be carried on radio on our sister station, 570 KLIF. TCU, one of 7 teams in the Big 12 Conference that made it in, but not everybody's happy about the Oklahoma Sooners getting an invitation. OU gets in while Oklahoma State was left out. Here's college basketball insider Dick Vitale.
Somebody explain this to me. I know I'm a dummy. I know I can't spell. I know I can't read. I can't write. I have no math skills. But I want someone to explain this to me. How in the world can Oklahoma State be sitting home today and Oklahoma in the tournament when Oklahoma loses 11 of their last 15 games? They didn't win one game in the year 2018 on the road. And on top of it, Oklahoma State beats them twice. Not once, twice. Oklahoma State beats Kansas twice. Oklahoma State beats West Virginia at West Virginia. Oklahoma State beats Florida State. I see no logic. They can give me all the talk they want about early, but they did early 14-2. There is no way in the world that Oklahoma State, if Oklahoma's in, Oklahoma State had to be in the tournament. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an embarrassment, and it's a humiliation to what this tournament's about. I really, tell you the truth, it frustrates the hell out of me.
Here's the stuff that's total nonsense about what the committee says. They say total body of work. They talk about deep dives and scrubbing and all that stuff. And then they go with non-conference record. If it's overall body of work, just like Seth's saying, if you play in a tougher conference, you're not required to play as tough of a non-conference schedule if it's your total body of work. If you play in a conference that doesn't give you anything and you want to get in as an at-large, you'd better play somebody in the non-conference. That's the responsibility that you have in a lesser conference. And if they're not look, if they look at this and somebody says, well, I think this team is better, I'm not going to argue with them. That's fine. But they're contradicting themselves left and right, and committees should not be sending messages when their charge is to put the best teams in. This is the national championship event. They shouldn't be doing that. And I agree with Dick. Like, that's if that's what they're doing, if they're trying to send messages, then they should find another business. That's not what they should be up to. Dick?
Well, you know, I agree certainly with what Jay just said, but I'll also point this out. They say, look at their non-conference. They played Wichita State, Oklahoma State. They played Arkansas at the Bud Walton Arena. They played some outstanding teams. Florida State, you said, on a neutral set. I mean, I think they really have been penalized big time. And I'm not talking about, you know, it hurts in a way because I like the little guy being part of the dance. But I understand it now. I understand basically the opportunities. That quadrant one just favors all the elite conferences. Think about the opportunities they get to play. If you're an elite top conference, you're getting to play those teams on a regular basis. And you're going to get a little bit lucky, a little bit fortunate. I know I could feel for those little guys going 28-5 and 25-6 sitting home. And I just think it's sad in a way that mediocrity rather than the common sense sometimes. You look at numbers. There's something called common sense. And I just don't understand. When I look at that Oklahoma and at Oklahoma State, I have nothing against Oklahoma. Lon Kruger's a great guy. Trey Young, a terrific player. But there's no way if I'm sitting in Oklahoma State, I'm going to be tearing my heart out now. I mean, we beat Kansas twice. They're like number one seed. We beat West Virginia on the road. We beat Oklahoma. Forget all that. I had a coach tell me today. I talked on the phone. He said, bottom line, Dick, they beat them twice. They beat them because I told him before. I said, you know, I don't think Oklahoma State's going to get in. He said, you can't be serious. How can Oklahoma get in? They lost 12 in the last or 11 in the last 15 games. I mean, even Lon Kruger would tell me now because he's a classy guy and a guy that probably should be considered for Hall of Fame status. He would tell you he would feel for the kids at Oklahoma State. They got a raw deal.
That's Dickie V and Jay Billis on ESPN. Now, I started off suggesting that you don't go with all the number one seeds when you're filling out your bracket. But one number one that I'm going to pick is the Big 12 champion Kansas Jayhawks. They're making their 29th straight appearance in the tournament. That's an NCAA record. Here's Kansas coach Bill Self on TNT a couple of days ago.
How do you describe, how do you assess this bunch of Jayhawks this year?
Well, I really like our team right now after this past weekend. you know, it's been an up and down season. It's been an up and down season. We've been really good when we've been good, and we've been very average or worse when we haven't been. But I think we're on an uptick right now, and we can stretch it, and we can play around a big guy, of course, when Udoka's healthy. And I like this team. You know, we've had some good teams going into the tournament, but I think this is one of those good teams.
It's Kansas coach Bill Self. I think the Jayhawks will make it to the Sweet 16. They're really good, and I think Texas Tech will survive the weekend and still be playing next week at this time. But if you're looking for the team to win it all, well, most of the college basketball insiders I've been listening to the last couple of days, they really like Michigan State, the number three seed in the Midwest bracket. But hey, your guess is as good as anybody else's. Now, coming up later this week, I've got to talk about Kevin Harvick, the hottest driver in NASCAR who has won three races in a row. Harvick will be racing at Texas Motor Speedway a month from now. What a great time of the year this is. You've got the NBA and the NHL regular seasons winding down. The Major League Baseball season about to start. It's busy, but that's part of what makes this job so much fun. And you do want to enjoy what you do for a living, right? I like sitting down, putting together Lambo and Sports, where I get to spend a lot more time discussing what's trending in sports than I do on the morning show Monday through Friday. And again, my apologies for being AWOL the last few weeks. I could point a finger at WBAP's Chris Alcedo, but I won't. I'll just mention his name on the podcast. Remember, you can always follow me on Twitter at LamboWBAP or catch me live every morning on the radio between 5 and 9 a.m. Until the next time, I'm Steve Lamb, WBAP Sports.